One team who got into it in the last couple of days and very significantly, and you might kind of wonder if they're not trying to keep up with everybody else in the Metro Division. The Metro Division in the National Hockey League has been bizarre. Columbus getting Brandon Saad. We know that Phil Kessel went to Pittsburgh. Today we're going to focus on the Washington Capitals, who now sport TJ Oshie and Justin Williams, who they did not have a couple of days ago. Very pleased that Alex Pruitt from the Washington Post can join us. And Alex, it's kind of, as somebody who's covering the Capitals, it's interesting because you're watching some very familiar names leave and some pretty big NHL names come in.
Yeah, I mean, guys who have been staples of this team for the past couple of years. I mean, Eric Fair hasn't signed anywhere, but the assumption is that he'll be gone. I do think that the Capitals are still looking for a third-line center of his ilk. Otherwise, they'll probably have to either move J.P. Goff from a role they don't want him to be in, or they'll have to shuttle a guy like Johansson or Leik over. But, I mean, unless they agree to a contract with him, you're looking at him going out. You're looking at Mike Green going to Detroit. And then, obviously, the new St. Joel Ward going to San Jose. And listen, all of these things were expected. Mm. I think they hope to sign Fair. I think that's probably the surprise for them. But with the money Green clearly commanded on the open market from Detroit at $6 million a year or whatever it was, they weren't going to re-sign him. And I think Ward's asking price of 4 years and roughly around the salary he made in his last contract, which is about $4 million, they weren't going to match that either. So, I mean, these were guys they anticipated probably leaving your free agency, but I thought Brian McClellan has done a pretty swift job of patching those holes. I mean, he went into free agency thinking that they needed to address the top six winger position, probably on the right side, given that they have Ovechkin, you know, Burakovsky, Johansson, a couple other guys on the left. And he did that twofold. I think the Justin with if you had told Caps fans that they would get Justin Williams via free agency and Stan Pat, they would have been probably pretty okay with that. But I mean, to flip Brower, the prospect, Seamus Copley, and a third round pick into 2 years of TJ Oshie for that matter, that was kind of icing on the cake. Is the sense I'm getting because they addressed two spots and that they have their two top six right wingers now. And that was exactly what Brian McClellan said he was going to do. And that's two summers now that he said he's going to do something. And last summer, obviously, being addressing the defense and getting Orpik and Niskanen.
Right.
And he ends up doing it.
The addition of Oshie is the one that maybe intrigues me the most because we know what Williams is. He's just a steady performer who, when the stage is at his biggest, everybody knows about his record in game sevens. It's phenomenal. Oshie, I was a little surprised to realize he's as old as he is. He still strikes me as being a young player, but he's somewhat of a wild card in this because, at least from my perspective, I think there's still a lot to give from Oshie, don't you?
Yeah, you know, obviously covering the East, I haven't seen him much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously he has kind of a similar rep as Brower in that the postseason his numbers dip off a little bit. But at the same time, I do think he represents an upgrade from Brower in terms of possession, in terms of putting shots on net, going to puck and that sort of thing. I think a little bit has been made about them losing some heaviness out of the lineup with Ward and Brower, two of their better net front guys. I mean, those are the two guys who played in the slot on their power play this year, so they're going to have to replace both guys in that position. But I mean, at the same time, I think Oshie will bring a different element to their top six. I mean, if you think where he'll go, he's either going to go with probably Kuznetsov and another to-be-determined left winger on the second line. And Kuznetsov, he's a pretty lethal puck handler, even at whatever it is. I think he's 23 right now. Or you put him on the top line with Backstrom, two of the best distributors in the game, and then Ovechkin, one of the best goal scorers in the game. So I'm really curious to see where Barry Trotz ends up putting Williams and Oshie and how he orders his lineup. But at the same time, I think the sense around the team is that while they may have gotten a little lighter, and clearly the heaviness was a big reason why they won that Islanders series in the spring, but at the same time, I think they also think that they got more skilled in the process by essentially flipping Oshie for Brower.
Alex Pruitt from the Washington Post, our guest here on The Big Show. We were talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins yesterday and the feeling of bringing in a Kessel. You know, you might now begin to have a window a little bit on your generational players. Does Washington feel that too? Is there a little bit of a window more on Ovechkin than Backstrom? And I'm not saying it's closing, but at least you can begin to see it. Is there an emphasis now on winning today?
Yeah. And listen, I mean, I think there always was in the the tenure of those guys, but it just hasn't worked out in the past.
Yeah.
I think maybe the difference now is that they're making, you know, pretty prudent, smart moves. You know, based off of the obvious holes, they saw they've identified problems and they patched them. But no, I do think, I mean, it'd be really unreasonable to, if they were saying that, you know, their window with Ovechkin is going to last forever. I mean, he has proven that against, you know, what people might say, he can still produce at the, one of the highest offensive levels in the league. But at the same time, reality is reality. He's 30. He's going to be 30 this season. You know, he and Backstrom are pretty much tethered together in terms of their contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have, I mean, by the time Ovechkin's deal is up, I mean, he's going to be in his late 30s or past the, you know, the middle point of his 30s. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that there is a certain sense that, you know, as much as they can do to maximize the value of what they have, you know, obviously what they have is probably the greatest goal scorer in this generation, they might as well go ahead and do that.
I want to ask you a little bit about a guy who's left, and that's Calgarian Mike Green. Wondering from afar, it just appears like one of these situations we see in sport that you just grow apart and now is the time to leave. Or is it a case of, you know, the Capitals are happy to see him go or he's happy to leave? How would you describe kind of the divorce, as it were?
No, I think it was, I mean, it was a very forced divorce that neither of them wanted to take in an ideal world.
Okay.
But the reality is, I mean, last year, they had a luxury in Mike Green. They were playing a former two-time Norris Trophy runner-up as their fifth defenseman at $6 million. That doesn't really happen. And he, I mean, he produced well. I think he was second in the entire league in even strength, or sorry, total points per 60 minutes among defensemen, behind Shattenkirk. So it was very clear that, you know, he can still produce. And there's a pretty reasonable question to be asked. And I know Mike has even asked that himself when I've talked to him. About whether that production was the result of him playing sheltered minutes and, you know, playing, getting a lot of offensive zone starts against opposing fourth lines or whatever, third line, or whether he's kind of turned a corner in his career and he's rebounded from the injuries of years past and he could be a productive, you know, top four defenseman in Detroit. But to that end, I mean, the Capitals, they have their top four, and all their top four are locked into this franchise for a little while. I mean, I wouldn't expect Alzner and Carlson, guys who are up in the next couple of years, to go anywhere. I mean, they've been pillars at the top four.
Right.
With Ovechkin and Niskanen, those guys are locked in for, I think, 4 and 6 more years, respectively. So there wasn't a lot of room to be paying Mike Green, you know, what he wants to be paid and what he ultimately got on the open market. So I think they feel confident that they have Schmidt and Orlov, two young guys who can kind of fill the void. The thing is, I mean, both of them had success, but they've had success really only with Mike Green. So it's kind of curious to see what those guys are going to do together. But, you know, just with where their cap was and the other needs they had to address, I thought they lasted the whole season with Mike Green in that fifth role. And I think they knew and Mike knew and everyone really in the world knew that was a luxury and that wasn't going to last beyond this year.
So does that allow Barry Trotz, or does that force Barry Trotz to, you know, play with his group different? Because my limited knowledge of the two younger guys is they're not Mike Green, right? So he comes out of that. Is it going to be a different looking blue line? Responsibilities are they, is it going to be a different acting blue line with no Mike Green?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, obviously, when you remove a guy of that puck moving caliber, who has the ability to play in the top four, if you're in a tight situation, that probably does place a little bit more of a burden, I guess, on Niskanen and Alzner or freaking Carlson, which in that order, those will probably be the pairings again. I mean, they spent the entire year together, barring injury this year.
Right.
Three of them ended up playing 82 games. So, I mean, they have experience with that being their top four. And there were times when Green played fewer minutes because they, you know, they were in situations where they needed more defensive zone presence. The second power play unit will change a little bit. Green got moved there. I think it was on the California trip in February. They ended up switching Green off the top power play unit and exchanging with John Carlson. And I know they billed it at the time as needing more shots on net. But in retrospect, it's hard to not see that as at least partially potentially moving Carlson up and trying to get him accustomed and trying to get him reps with Ovechkin and Backstrom on the top power play unit. So, I mean, they have that working for them. I mean, Orlov and Schmidt, those are two pretty dynamic guys in their own right. It remains to be seen how Orlov comes back from the wrist surgery that kept him out all of last year. Schmidt played extremely well when he was up in the NHL in the fall. He ran into some inconsistency issues with puck handling and possession. And they ended up sending him down to Hershey in the AHL, and he broke his collarbone, which pretty much derailed things for him. But, I mean, that's not a bad third pairing.
No.
If you have one of, in my opinion, still one of the best top four defensive forwards in the league, and in those four guys, if Orlov and Schmidt do what you think they're going to do, I think they're in pretty good shape.
Alex, appreciate this. The Metro Division, the Capitals, the Penguins, even Columbus, it's become a real interesting watch here in the offseason. But I appreciate the Capitals' perspective. Thanks for doing this today.
Hey, thank you very much. Take care, guys.